I'll just hit record and then we'll get cracking. Good question, baby. All right, Andrew Wood's just joining. We'll get started though, guys. Obviously, Jess Jonathan joining us ahead of our first ODI tomorrow. As usual, use the chat section and we'll filter through. Anyone who wants to kick us off, let me know and we'll get going. Andrew McGlashan, I think I'm going to naturally be your way to start us off.
That's fine. See, I was about to type, but thanks very much. Hi, Jess. It's been a year since you guys last played a 50-over game internationally. Does much change for you from a personal point of view about how you go about the game?
Yeah, it has been a while. I think, I guess the luxury of knowing you've got a lot more time than you would in a T20. From a personal point of view, nothing changes sort of extravagantly for me. I sort of still look to do quite similar things and fill quite similar roles within the side. So, yeah, I think for me, the more simple I keep it across formats, sort of the better for me.
Do you quite enjoy the challenge of having the chance of a longer battle, a head-to-head with certain players? Obviously, you have that in T20, but it can last a couple of balls. Do you like the potential of having a longer duel in a 50-over game?
Yeah, I love it. 50-over cricket's probably one of my favourite formats. And I think if we played more test cricket, I'd probably say that as well. I enjoy the idea of being able to bowl more than four overs as well, that you sort of have the ability to fully, I guess, get into a spell. Whereas in the T20 game, it's sort of, you could still be bowling your best delivery and it could still get hit over the boundary. And I guess in the 50-over game, the ability to build pressure sort of can last multiple overs, let alone, I guess in T20, it's only a matter of balls. So, yeah, and I think for us as well as an Australian side, the fact that we've been able to have a little bit of success, I guess, in the 50-over format as well in recent times, not only against New Zealand, but across the board as well. I think everyone's sort of pretty confident leading into that people knowing they'll have extra time with both bat and ball and being able to hopefully execute for longer periods of time as well.
Just one on conditions in general. It will be a same pitch for the three games that you play on for this series as it was in the T20. Have you been slightly surprised that New Zealand haven't looked to play more spinners in their side? I know they're missing a couple of their main ones, but are you slightly surprised with the balance of team they've gone with?
I think yes and no. I think initially in the T20 stuff, I guess they opted for the extra batter as opposed to an extra bowler. But yeah, they're a little bit light on, I guess, in their spin stocks with a couple of their key spinners sort of either being unavailable or not being able to get into the country. So from that perspective, I think they've their hands sort of been forced in a way. But we saw how somebody such as Jess Kerr came in as a seamer, bowling a maiden in the first over of a T20. It's pretty exceptional. So we know that they've still got a lot of threats there. And obviously with Mealy Kerr being their frontline spinner as well, that we know how crafty she can be and what a big threat that she can be. So, it's sort of, I think for us, it's about just playing whatever bowling comes at us and making sure that we all have our own individual plans about how we're going to negate what their impact can be in the game.
Thanks, Jess.
No worries.
Thanks, Andrew. AB, over to you.
Jess, you mentioned it's been a long time between drinks, between one-day internationals for you guys. And in between, you had a really productive Big Bash season with the bat as well as the ball. But particularly with the bat, I was just wondering if that sort of changes things for you in terms of opportunities or potential opportunities to bat a little bit higher in this one-day team, or have you been asking Motti that question, or how does that look for you?
I'm forever hopeful. It's obviously quite challenging to get up the order of this side at the moment. We've got some really quality players, but I guess with Pez obviously being ruled out of this series, it sort of poses a really good opportunity for a number of us to sort of fill that sort of middle order role And I think we've got some incredible all-rounders within this side as well. So I think, yeah, I'd always be open for the opportunity, and hopefully if it comes that I'm able to make the most of it, because I have done a lot of hard work on my batting, and I was really pleased with the big bash last year that I had with the bat. And I've always sort of said that I just want to continue to build on that, that it's sort of a matter of only one good season, one good, I guess, consistent season, that if I can continue to build on that and keep putting the runs on the board, that hopefully sort of takes the decision out of their hands, that they can almost just, I guess, give me an opportunity to bat a little bit higher. But I'm quite happy sitting back at the moment watching what all the other girls are able to do. And obviously someone like Ash Gardner, the way that she hits the ball, I'm quite happy to be watching from the sidelines.
Do you feel like you're well-placed if the opportunity does arise? You know, if there's an early collapse or something, do you feel like your game's in a good position to take advantage at the moment?
Yeah, I do. I sort of feel in a really good spot at the moment. I've worked really hard throughout the preseason on a number of things with my batting, and worked really closely with Ash Nofke again, our fire and our heat coach. So, I just look to try and keep things really simple, that regardless of the situation that I could potentially come into the crease at, that it's sort of things don't necessarily change too much from a mentality point of view and what I want to try and execute out there. So I guess if the opportunity arises that I can face a few more deliveries, then hopefully I can just do what I'm hopeful that I can do and know what I'm capable of doing, and just do it for a longer period.
And just finally from me, you obviously got the captaincy duties this summer at state level and Big Bash. Have you been looking at these games, those first 320s, and looking ahead to these one days with a bit of a captaincy eye, and chatting to any of the leaders within the group around that?
I haven't really been having too many conversations about it. It's sort of, it's hard not to sort of think within that captaincy sort of mindset sometimes, mm-hmm. and particularly now it's sort of trying to look at every opportunity I can as a way of learning, and sort of different decisions that Meg might make, I sort of try and think, well, okay, what would I do in this situation, and sort of think about things from that perspective. But I'm just sort of trying to utilize the last little bit of luxury that I can just think about my own game for a little while, until I have to sort of get the brain cells firing a bit more. But it's been really nice to sort of, have that honor and that privilege of being able to captain, which is something that I never thought I'd get the opportunity to do. But obviously a few more games of this series, and then I'm really, really excited for what WBBL will bring.
Thanks, Jess.
Andrew McGlashan, we'll come back to you.
Thanks, guys. Just wanted to ask Jess, if you can win this series 3-0, it would equal the men's ODI record of 21 wins on the bounce. Is it something you've at all spoken about? Is it something you're aware of and have noted?
We're definitely aware of it. Not necessarily within our squad and what we're talking about, but you obviously see it in the media and whatnot, and it's been an incredible achievement so far for us to have won so many on the trot now. And it's not a record that we're necessarily setting out to try and break. It's the old cliche, I guess, that we literally do take it a game at a time. And I think because we know of the caliber of players in this New Zealand setup, that they got any number of people that can take any game away from you. So we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, and just want to focus on the first game of the series and hopefully locking that down. Hopefully the series in itself. And then if we do get to that position, that we can potentially go for a clean sweep, that I think the noise and the chat in and around that world record will be pretty much at the forefront by then.
Matt and Meg have often spoken about you guys as a team trying to push the game to new levels. In terms of the one-day game, is there anything you've spoken about, either as a team or individual perspective, scores, run rates, how you actually go about playing the one-day game, given it's been such a long break that you've had from it?
Not necessarily. I'm not sure if the batting group in itself has sort of had any conversations, but I know for us from individual perspectives, we're just in and around wanting to live our team values, and one of those particularly is being fearless. So I think over the last few years, we've really sort of grasped the concept of fearless instead of reckless. And I think that that's something that's allowed us to continue to drive and push the envelope in 50 over cricket as well. That I was only talking to someone the other day that when I first came in playing National League, 180 was seen as a good score, and 200 was almost the mental barrier and the mental edge over the opposition, whereas now it's sort of 250 260, and sometimes that's not even enough. So I think, yeah, the more that we're continuing to play fearless cricket from a batting perspective, I think that's always going to continue to push the envelope and push the game forward.
Thanks very much.
Andrew Wu, you're up next.
Yeah, good. Just touching upon that theme of playing fearless cricket again, I wanted to ask you about just how much of a change that was brought about by the 2017 World Cup, because I remember hearing that was a big driver for your the way you played your T20 cricket, and there seems to be a bit of a driver for your 50 over cricket as well.
Yeah, well, I think out of that 2017 World Cup, there was a really strong theme of us playing pretty timid. So we sort of, yeah, there was a lot of soul searching, and took a lot of good hard looks at ourselves and sort of were thinking, well, okay, what can we do to not only, I guess, push the boundaries or play some good positive cricket, but play some cricket that's also entertaining as well, and a lot of fun. So I think, yeah, it took a few series, I guess, before we fully, I guess, trusted in that process. And now it's almost something that's just become second nature and part of the way that we go about things. And it's really pleasing to see that different players have the capacity to do that in different ways. You obviously saw Ash Gardner in that first game of the T20 series coming in when we were probably in a little bit of trouble, and she looked like she played on a completely different wicket. And I'm expecting sort of similar innings from her in the 50 over stuff as well. But irrespective of what sort of position we're in on the scoreboard, you have players like that are so confident and so comfortable in their roles and their skill level that they're able to just go out and execute and do what it is that they do best, irrespective of the situation. And ultimately, that's what we want, that the scoreboard shouldn't necessarily reflect too much how you play. Obviously, you might need to rein it in a little bit if we're in some serious trouble. But, yeah, you want people to go out there and be confident and play the way that they play.
Do you feel like that fearless approach, that mantra, has been a key driver to the 18 in a row that you've got going at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. We've sort of, obviously, with a few new faces in as well. And like I said before, that it's one of our team values that we want every single person to live by. And we know that if we're sort of playing timid or people aren't sort of looking to push the boundaries, that then we sort of need to figure out, well, what's sort of stepping in the way, and whether that's sort of from a resource perspective or whether it's from a mentality perspective or something like that, that we then come up with ways that we're able to help players be able to have that fearless mentality, because ultimately that's what's been our main driver and what's led to a lot of our success recently, in my opinion.
Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew. Marco, you've got one?
Yeah, hi. Jess, how are you going? I just, Amelia Kerr the other day from New Zealand, she, was pretty instrumental with the bat and the ball, especially at the end there. You being playing with her, you know, like at the Heat, how dangerous can she be for them tomorrow?
Yeah, she's somebody that doesn't really feel the pressure, which for somebody so young, that's a little bit scary. But yeah, she's quite competent and capable to take the game away from you with both bat and ball. And obviously you saw her little cameos the other day, but Yeah, it's sort of, I think we've got some really good plans against her from a bowling perspective that now we just sort of need to make sure that we're on top of it from a batting perspective as well, that we sort of know the areas that she hits, but ultimately if we just got to execute where we need to bowl the ball and hopefully build pressure from that perspective. But yeah, it was a bit of a tricky day the other day. Obviously, I want to win for Australia, but obviously you always got the mind and an eye looking ahead from a WBBL perspective that it's really nice to see the way that she was performing there and in probably a similar role to what she'd play for us during the Big Bash.
And the pitch was mentioned just like before. Some of the Aussies were saying the other day that it played differently to the second game. It maybe sort of held up a bit. You know, what can we expect tomorrow, do you think, with being used again?
Well, I think we're on the fresh wicket.
Okay, sorry.
So all the three ODIs will be on the same wicket, though. So okay. Usually playing at AB, there's generally a little bit in it early in the morning session. So I think if you're batting first, you sort of got to be a little bit watchful early. But I guess the deeper you get into the innings and hopefully with the set batter, you can really sort of capitalise there with the wicket sort of flattens out a lot and then you definitely get value for shot there. So, yeah, it's sort of being watchful, a little bit watchful early. But, yeah, the second game in the T20s, the wicket definitely was much flatter than the first and the final game. So I think it'll be fairly similar to that second T20, particularly when you're starting the afternoon session. But as the series goes on, it'll definitely get much drier and then hopefully that can bring our spin attack into play.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marco. Any last questions, guys? No? All good. Awesome. All right, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks, Jess, for your time. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jess. Yeah. Bye. Bye.